It is a unique season we're in the Spirit. I woke up this morning and sent a text to the six other pastors in the round table in the region, and I said, we're in a unique Kairos moment of history. Not all seasons are Kairos moments. That's a Greek word meaning God is moving now, and what he's doing can only be done in this season. If it's not done in this season, it won't be done. The other Greek word is chronos. That's where we get our word chronograph and chronometer, chronometrics. That means just the normal passage of time. Sometimes we can tell what he's doing, but most of the time you can only tell what he's doing in history. For 1,000 years, the church was in a chronos time, from about the year 500 to the year 1500. Basically, nothing changed. Politically, it was in a feudal system with monarchies. Science didn't change. Borders didn't change. Almost no new revelation of God for 1,000 years. What if you were in one of those periods? And you just do the best you know how. You follow God the best you know how. You love God the best you know how. And then in the beginning of late 1400, 1500, there was a season, a chronos period of time of about 100 years, 50 to 100 years, that literally changed where we are now. Leonardo da Vinci, John Calvin, Martin Luther, the sciences. We started moving into nation states from monarchies. It was Protestant churches came into existence. The Bible started printing, all within 100 years. That's amazing. Why did it just sit for 1,000? And in 100 years, just change. I mean, that's a whole study for another time that I'm not sure I even have all the answers for. But that was a Kairos moment where God said, it's time. Right now, I believe we're in a major shift around the world, not just in America, of the darkness, just like it was. They called it the Dark Ages. The darkness has reached its fulfill, just like it did in the days of Noah. And God says, I've had enough. And he started releasing light. And of course, we now call it the Enlightenment period, scientific period. And arrogantly, we says it has nothing to do with religion. When you study that period without the revisionist history, you realize every one of those guys, Newton, Leibniz, all those different guys were first theologians, and they moved out of the concept that God is a God of order, and as a result, we should be able to figure out what the natural order is, because it's predictable. And it was just an explosion. And I believe we've been in at least a 40 or 50 year part of this that is now reaching America, where he's saying the darkness is dark enough. I've had my fill like I did in Noah, like I've had my fill in the dark ages, and my light is going to shine and break through. God has made quite a few promises over the earth, not heaven. Heaven is in perfect order. Habakkuk 3:4 or 4:3 that says, the earth, my glory shall cover the earth, as the waters cover the sea. That means it's going to be big. He's made that promise. It's got to happen. And he's moving forward in lurches. He's moving forward this is just one of those periods, and it's been a real intense period this year. It's focusing on America. Now, America is a linchpin in many ways for the nations. We are literally a light, it's been tried to be out, a light shining across the earth. The Lord can do whatever he wants to, but I really feel that light, he doesn't want that light to go out. And so you just have to sit back and go, no matter what happens, even if it gets darker, which I don't think it will, but even if it gets darker, I still carry the light. I am still carrying it forward. The kingdom of God is going to go forward, as we've talked about many times. And it is literally, this is, it's hard for people to say. Maybe I'll send out in a text this week, because I wasn't planning on talking about this. There are many, many papers written by scientists that are not Christians that give this value proposition. We are living in the best times ever. I'm telling you, we are. Poverty levels across the world are the lowest they've ever been. Education levels are the highest they've ever been. Maybe not in America per se, but around the world. Freedom nations. There's a lot of autocratic nations out there. But there are more freedom nations than there has ever been. Especially compared to 1500. There was none. It is literally health-wise. It is literally the best time to live on this planet. More people have access to water and sewer than they've ever had. More people's had access to medicine than they've ever had. And sometimes we have to pull back, and I just want to encourage you with that. I'll send out, Lord help me, or somebody send me a text. They send out some of the links to these articles, and I'll do it in the text. It is absolutely amazing. And most of the freedom-loving nations are ones where the gospel has moved in and not just called salvations, but calls Lord people to say, I want you to be Lord of my life. So I just want to encourage you, no matter what's going on, the bigger picture is, this is a Kairos moment. And I don't know if it's going to be 2 years, 2 months, or 20 years. We're going to look back and go, that was a pivotal time in the church arising, finding out who they are, what they're for, and starting to live it. They really are. At the beginning of this year, I gave you three A's. Well, I gave you one A, and then the Lord added two A's as the year went on. And then the fourth A in September about assignment. We've been talking about this, and so we're just going to keep reiterating the big picture. God, all year long, really, since we're saved, but this year has been a big deal to align us with Him and His Word and His goals. I've never seen so many Christians ignore the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking maybe none here, none in our group of churches, but as I look across America, most of the church, I preached on this a lot, I'm not going to go into detail, have just simply ignored the Holy Spirit. They want to stay exactly where they're at, exactly as Hebrews 3:16, 17, and 18 says. We talked about that. It said that the Israelites were in the wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, they were comfortable. They had their food every day. They didn't even have to do a drive-through camel service. Their clothes never wore out. Now, I bet the women hated that. The same clothes for 40 years. Maybe they made new clothes. I don't know. There was no fast fashion back then, okay? If you don't know that phrase, then that's okay. There was none of that. Same, you know, their shoes never wore out. They never got sick. They were comfortable and it was convenient, yes. They didn't eat. They had central air conditioning from the heat because the cloud was over them by day and kept the burning sun off of them. At night, the desert gets cold. They had central heat, the flame of fire kept it at whatever temperature it kept at. It was great, so why move on? But if it said Hebrews 3:16, 17, and 18, we talked a lot about it, so I'm not going to go into detail. You can turn there and look at it. It says, the Father was grieved with them, even though He was blessing them. You can be blessed, and the Father is not happy with you. What that means is, He will take care of you because you're your kids. How many of you, all right, you put food on the table, you went and bought them some new Nike Airs or Reverbs or whatever the popular thing is, or Converses or Voxes or whatever it is. You go buy them, but you're just not really happy with your kids. But you do it. See, that's what the Father does. We can bless them. We can keep the air on in their room,
keep the heat on in their room, but we're grieved at them.
I still think it's a major battle in the church to arise and move out of the blessings we have in the church and say, Father, I will align with you, spirit, soul, and body. Your will be my will, as we saw in that song. Your desires will be my desires. And I will follow you, and I will not be offended along the way. And I still think, you know, it's not my job, I still think the Holy Spirit's got a long ways to go. I think the depression we've had, the COVID we've had, the chaos we've had in the cities, it is a sign of darkness, but I think parallel to that, he's been trying to get the church to arise and wake up and realize we are the influencers of the world. As Psalms 25:2 says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man, is to rise and take authority. Now, we can't take authority till we start getting aligned with him the way he believes, the way he thinks. And we've been doing that. I mean, we've preached this all year long. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Do it. What is the Holy Spirit? Because I'm telling you, it is critical for now and for the future. Do you realize some things take time to get in the right position? Well, I can do it at the last moment. No, you can't. It won't be a Kairos time. You can always repent, but then God has to figure out some way to get you back together fast. And he does that a lot, but it does still take time. But as we align with the Lord, authority has been coming on us all year long. The things he asks us to do are clearer and they're easier to do. They take less physical energy, less emotional energy, because there's an authority on it. And he's getting us ready, probably the rest of our lives, to be arks to this world. The Ark of the Covenant was about his mercy and presence. The Lord is positioning you and getting you ready in your spirit, your soul, your physical things, bringing them, the Castlemans, to Maryland for whatever reason. I'm not sure it's God. But God wants to, he says in Maryland, where was it called? Tooneyville? Tawnytown. I knew it sounded like a cartoon. That's why I said Tooneyville. Tawnytown. I've never heard. How do you spell that?
T-A-N-E-Y.
Tawnytown. That sounds like, does that sound like a cartoon to you? So you're going to go have fun. You're going to go color between the lines there and outside the lines. But he's saying, I need an ark of my presence along with my mercy in Tawnytown. So he's moving them. He's also making his ark like Noah's ark. Noah's ark was full of resources for the future, new hope, new beginning. Animals, food, seeds, whatever else was in there, people. You go, man, this hurts. This is a pain. I don't like moving to Tawnytown. I want to go to Tooneyville. He's saying, you carry resources for the future to plant seeds and to bring life into that place. You may not ever see it, but 5 years from now, you're going to go, okay, that was painful. Hopefully it was painful. If it's not painful, don't tell us. We want to feel good. And so, but you're going there 5 years ago, this was the perfect place we needed to be. All the gifts and resources the Lord has brought us there, or to wherever you have. And that's going to be an ongoing process. Alignments for the rest of your life. But he took it intense this year. Especially in families. I have never, every year I say this. I've said this for many years. We had one word, I have to go back through and look at my journal. One whole word for 1 year was family. I don't remember when that was. Several years ago. That was an intense year for family to get reconciled, saved, work out their dysfunction, work out their wholeness issues. And I didn't think it'd get any worse. This year was by far worse. At least in my personal experience and counseling some of you, I was like, how can it get any worse? He just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Why? Because he's ready for more and more authority, presence, resources, seed to come up in our lives. And he doesn't want to be limited by these vessels as little as possible. I mean, how many of you, is it just me that the family was worse this year? Worse is not the right word. Correction to sons, it just keeps getting ratcheted up. Would that be a way to put it? Discipline to daughters just keeps getting ratcheted up. And so that's a cool thing. He's not doing it just to have fun. He's doing it to position us to be arcs of his presence, ark of his resources. And then, so that's where we were then September, right around Rosh Hashanah. I think it was the week after. I was going to go and teach these three things at a conference in Arkansas, John David Kirby's conference he does every year. Last year he did it here. This year he did it in a place called Batesville. Never been to Batesville. It's surrounded by rice paddies. Do you realize it's in northern Arkansas, right at the base of the Ozarks? Do you realize that the number one there, they produce more rice than any place in America? Yeah, I was. That's not a great spiritual principle, but it's a throw that fact out. We crossed the Mississippi. It's flat before it gets to the Ozarks. Flat for miles. I'm talking, we drove 2 hours. And we're going, is that rice? I didn't even know they made rice in America. I'm used to seeing it in other countries. I didn't really believe it. Then later he told us, yeah, there was rice everywhere. Anyway, that was beside the point. So here he is in Batesville. Little places. I'm telling you, God is going to, some of his greatest moves is going to be in places like Dalton, Taneytown, and Toonville, if there is one. He's going to put these things on the map in Batesville because all of the earth is going to see his glory. Not just Atlanta, not just Kansas City, not just Charlotte, not just wherever, Tulsa, Southern California. It's going to move everywhere. And so but as I was getting up to speak, he said there's a fourth A, and that's assignment. And I want you to teach on it. And I'm like, I'm getting up here. I've already got my message planned. He goes, well, just talk on it in your limited knowledge. And this is it. He said, because we've been faithful, you've been faithful to just follow his voice. That's what it boils down to. These three things, alignment is just following his voice. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. That's all it boils down to. In the 70s, there was a big movement in the evangelical church called the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you've heard it many times since then. That was 50 years ago. But there's just a big movement, unfortunately, saying don't just be saved, make him Lord over everything. That's really what it boils down to. Holy Spirit, whatever. And he's the releasing of assignments to carry his presence, his mercy, his resources, whatever it is for you, it's going to vary. It started in 2 months ago, in September. And so we've been talking a little bit. What does it mean to be on assignment? We talked last week, the number one value for the number one thing we want that carry with us the rest of our lives that help us in our assignment is sensitivity. Pray for to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We talked about wake up and go, Father, ask. We use the word ask. Ask. Holy Spirit, I want to be more sensitive to you today. I want to be so sensitive that when you pause, I pause. When you question, I question. When you are excited, I'm excited. And I act accordingly. And to expect that he's going to speak to you. A part of that is to sit still. Or at least, let me put it this way, in America, is to reduce the noise. Normally when I get up in the mornings, I listen to 2 5-minute news programs just to get the overview. One's the Fox News Radio Hour and the other one's the BBC for the world. And I start off my day and the Lord said, no, I don't want you to start off your day like that. Just don't do anything. If I tell you to pray, pray. That was hard. I was having DTs, man. I didn't want to get up and just not listen to something, especially after so many years of habits. I got up Saturday morning. I was going to go through I'm a big podcast person, go through my little podcast things as I move around the house. And he said, no, no noise, just quietness. That's sad that I can't do that without concentrating. But that's where the Lord told me real quick. And I said, okay. And so that's my routine now. I'm trying to build it in, make it a habit. And that's where he yesterday told me, he said, this has been a great year for you. Believe me, I would have never made this up. This was not something, I would have gone, this has been a hard year. And I already explained that if you were here at the beginning of the hour or the beginning of the service. So this is a great year for you. I was like, really? And then he just starts remembering like 10 or 15 things. As a side point, I would challenge you, if you're feeling hopeless or depressed or overwhelmed, sit down, do the discipline of gratitude, and say, start listing things you're glad for. You're glad for something. You're glad you had food. You're glad you had a house. Just go from there. Glad you had a job. Glad you're not dead. Glad you're, you know, you can. That's a reality for me after my experience in October. And so you can just go through that. And then it changes your perspective. So anyway, let's keep going through the assignments. We're going to do two D's today in the little bit of time. Hopefully we do two D's. Maybe we just get through one D. So we talked about becoming more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And the second, I want to talk about dreaming and talking about delighting. First of all, let's talk about dreaming. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is your dream over me? I would have said, Lord, what is your dream for me? For those of you that have kids, which looks like not quite everybody, but a good portion of you. If not, you can imagine. Before you have kids, I know it was 10 years before we had kids because of infertility problems. You're dreaming of what it's going to be like to have kids. They're going to be a boy, they're going to be a girl, what are they going to do, how are we going to do their rooms. And then once you get pregnant, it intensifies. Do you know the Father did the same thing over you? So it's not the challenge is not to find, well, let me say it this way. The challenge is not to create, make up, and figure out our goals in life, our destiny, our dreams. It's just to simply walk with Holy Spirit and He'll reveal to you what He dreamed about and prepared beforehand. I didn't do this and I highly regretted it. When I went to college, college was not that expensive. If you went to public school, public college, which is what I did. If you got little kids, it is not that way anymore. When Abigail went through, I was like, what? 1 year was more than what like 4 years was when I went through college. And I was always been told, put $100 a month away. You'll need it in 18 years. I never did it. That was stupid. Boy, was I wrong. But your Father has put away every resource you need for your dream, for His dream over you. And you go, well, I want my own dream. This is the funny thing. When you were created, your own dream, He put that dream inside your spiritual DNA and your physical DNA. And when we walk according to His plan and according to His light, I'm not talking about when we were unbelievers and we were smoking weed, whatever came into our head as we did LSD, that was not your dream, okay? That was some whacked out thing that you might have thought it was your dream. Or the dream your parents gave you because they wanted to live vicariously through you. But as you learn to get into it all comes back. You get back into Father's presence. And that takes a little while to figure that out. It's not that simple. But quietness, asking, expecting, like we talked about last week. He'll start revealing to you the way He made you spiritually, physically. And you'll get excited about it because you can't help it. You've been wired for this dream. And so just start asking, Father, what is your dream? What do you dream over me? And he won't live vicariously through you. What did you create me to do? You got this dream from the Father before you even came to earth. Because you've been locked up in His Spirit before the earth was even created. Is that weird or what? He knew about Tiny Town and the Castleman's going before they knew 6 months ago. You didn't even know 6 months ago you were going there. Well, He knew before the earth was even created, if you believe in the young earth, over 6,000 years ago. Is that wild or what? And He's been excited and looking forward to your birth since then. Do you believe that? It has to be that way. And so you were birthed out of heaven into whosoever womb you came through. And then we start the process of learning, first to get saved and then learning to hear His voice, going, what was your dream over me? And see, that to me is a much better way of saying it than saying, okay, what is your job over me? What is your, why was I created? Assignments, even though I use the word assignment, starts with an A. It's a good thing. He gives us assignments. But your dream is so much deeper than like a servant just taking orders. Because He's going to do it with you like good parents do it with their kids. They reach a wall and they can't get there. They need some help. Okay, yeah, I've already prepared for this. It wasn't true in my case, but some of your cases, here's some money for college. We'll help you get through it. Or here's a car, or here's whatever you need. A math lesson, physics lesson, a writing lesson, phonics lesson, which I never did. My wife did all the phonics lessons. You know, I know it's hard to believe, but there was a generation, my generation, that never did phonics. How many of you were the phonics-less generation? When I grew up, there was nobody even heard of the word phonics. They said, this is the word, memorize it, this is how you spell it. And I was terrible with my kids. I was like, they would go, well, how do you learn this? Where I said, just memorize it and move on. No, 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 we don't do that. You sound it out. So I did not teach my kids to read. My wife did that. Somehow or another, they made it through. But what is your dream? And what's interesting is He puts you in physical locations. Like Tawny Town, I'm picking on you because this is the last week I can do that. Otherwise, I'd be talking behind your back, wouldn't I? And if I do it next week. He puts you in Dalton. He puts you in Varnell. He puts you in Chattanooga. He puts you in Atlanta. Because your dream and the resources for it, which includes people and interconnections, is in those places. Your dream is not just about you. It is one huge network of just webs that's interconnected and tied in all these different ways. And so when He puts you in a physical location, you go, I am here to help carry out the dream He has over me I am to help Him. It's really His dream. And we help carry out His dream with our piece that He says is your part of the dream, but it's one big piece. As Habakkuk said, his ultimate thing is to restore the earth to one giant Garden of Eden. It's going to happen. When is it going to happen? I don't know. But he started something at the Garden of Eden. His reputation is on the line to finish the Garden of Eden. And even though Adam and Eve sinned, I don't know how far they got. It doesn't look like they got very far. But they could have lived 1,000 years before they sinned, or they could have lived one day. No, the Bible doesn't say. But his reputation is still on the line saying, I'm a good father, they failed, but I provided a better way through the death of Jesus Christ, got the authority back that they lost, and I'm still going to help them get there. How many of you had kids at 4 years old, they fall and scrape their knee, and instead of going, I abandon you, I am not having anything to do with you anymore. You're worthless. You couldn't even walk straight. And you walk away. Now that's what half the church teaches. You fell, you've lost your place in line. No, you picked them back up, fixed their knee. If they do anything, falling down and scraping your knee is not a good example, but if they are rebellious, you discipline them and you keep moving on. You're always one step ahead of them to help them be successful in life. And as I'm finding out from listening to other stories, sometimes your adult kids get into more messes than that. You wish for just a little four-year-old scrape his knee. Because when they scrape their knee at 45, it's just a blooming mess. They may be going to jail, bankruptcy, divorce, whatever it may be, suicide or attempted suicide. The messes are bigger, but if we're good parents, we go, listen, I have no idea what to do, but I will at least hang out with you. I'm still in your corner, and I'll pray for wisdom. The Father is still committed to the human race to restore it back to the Garden of Eden, because that's the bigger dream. And so every part of your life where He says, I want you to move in this direction. That's a small thing, but it's a part of the bigger picture. He's trying to restore the Garden of Eden in your family. He's trying to restore the Garden of Eden in your job, if you have whatever kind of influence you may have, et cetera, et cetera. That's a big dream, isn't it? It's not going to fully happen in our life, but I'm going to pay my part, do my part of it. And I'm telling you, the older you get, you start looking back and go, this action had consequences that were good. This action had consequences that wasn't good. And the older you get, you realize it is just better to dream with the Father and to go after His dream, which ends up being our dream. And it excites us. We're not going to get to the second D. Maybe that's next week. Y'all catching a big vision here? It really is. Your place, let me close with this, is more important than you realize. You read Hebrews 11. It's about the hall of faith. All these people that did it right, they did not do it perfect. You study their life. They didn't do it perfect, but they kept moving forward. When they fell down and scraped their knee, which at, you know, at 4 is a literal scrape, at 24, it's not a literal scrape. It's who knows what it is. But you scrape your knee. But you still get back up, put salve on it, repent, ask for cleansing, and keep moving the best way you know how. As you do that, you start realizing, okay, this is making a difference. And I just want to encourage you. Many times people go, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. Every action you do, godly or not godly, influences other people and not just you. The older you get, you realize this. It is a dominoes game. Well, it's not going to hurt anybody if I just do this except me. It is a lie. It always hurts other people. And then when you get to the other side, you realize, okay, this caused depression on this person. This caused hopelessness on that person. This, whatever it may be. Your actions, good or bad, always have consequences. Always. And so we want to dream with the Father, obey the Holy Spirit the most we know how, and you start propagating good consequences and good ripples around you, which is fulfilling the Garden of Eden around you. Amen? So just every day go, Father, what's your dream today? Don't ask Him what your dream is, your personal dream. Go, what's your dream for me to, what's your dream today? Show me how I can help carry out your dream over my family, over myself, over whatever influence you have. Have you ever thought about that? It'll open up your vision. Just start doing that. Let's stand. Let me pray over you.